A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Light doesn't just go through things or not go through things. It bends. It scatters. It finds the path of least resistance, like water finding a crack in a basement wall. And the difference between a curtain that dims a room and one that creates total darkness isn't thickness. It's a specific engineering choice about handling light's wave-particle duality. So Daniel sent us this one. He's asking how blackout curtains actually work at the physics level. What to look for in the specifications to make sure you're getting something effective and durable, and what separates a true hotel-quality blackout curtain from the imposters. And honestly, the timing on this is perfect, because the blackout curtain market has become a complete free-for-all.
It's the Wild West out there. The FTC has no standard definition for the word blackout. It's not like organic, where there's a certification process and someone can lose their license. Anybody can sew a label onto a beige piece of polyester and call it a blackout curtain, and there's nothing the government can do about it.
Of course there are. The word means whatever the marketing department needs it to mean.
And with work from home now entrenched, everyone suddenly cares about their sleep environment, circadian health is having its moment, energy costs are up, so the market has just exploded with products claiming to be blackout. And most of them aren't.
What is this really about at the engineering level? What's actually happening when light hits a piece of fabric?
Three mechanisms of failure, basically. Light gets through fabric in three ways. First, direct transmission through actual physical gaps in the weave. If you can see pinholes when you hold it up to a light, that's direct transmission. Second, scattering through the fibers themselves. Even if the weave is tight, the individual threads might be translucent, so light gets conducted through the material like light through frosted glass. And third, and this is the one that drives people crazy, edge leakage around the perimeter of the curtain. The light hits the wall next to the window, bounces, and comes around the sides.
You're telling me light is basically a motivated intruder. It's not just coming straight through. It's finding side routes.
It's a liquid, essentially, at these scales. It diffracts around barriers, it scatters, it finds any path. And that third one, the edge leakage, is actually the number one failure point in real-world installations. You can have the most optically perfect fabric in the world, and if there's a half-inch gap between your curtain and the wall, you've got a bright stripe of light on your face at 6 in the morning.
Let's start with the fabric itself before we get to the installation problem. You mentioned three mechanisms of failure. What's the engineering response? How do you actually stop light at the material level?
This is where the three-layer paradigm comes in, and once you understand this, you can't unsee it. A true blackout curtain is not one piece of thick fabric, it's a sandwich. You've got a face fabric on the front, that's the decorative layer, the color and texture you actually see in the room. Then you've got a middle opaque barrier layer, that's the actual light-blocking workhorse. And then you've got a back coating or liner that provides durability, thermal performance, and protects the middle layer.
The magic is the middle layer.
The magic is entirely the middle layer. The face fabric could be sheer linen for all the light cares. It's there for aesthetics. The back layer is structural. The middle layer is the one that says no to photons.
This is why just hanging two regular curtains doesn't work.
Two regular curtains doubles the face fabric, but you still don't have an opaque barrier. Light scatters through the first layer, then scatters through the second layer. You might block maybe 70% of the light if you're lucky, but you're not getting anywhere near blackout. You need a dedicated opaque layer that is fundamentally different from woven fabric.
What are the actual technologies for that middle layer? What am I looking at when I read a spec sheet?
Three dominant approaches, and they are not created equal. The cheapest and most common is a foamed acrylic coating. They essentially paint the back of the face fabric with this acrylic foam, and when it dries, it creates a light-blocking film. It works initially, but acrylic is a polymer, and polymers have a failure mode called hydrolysis. In the presence of moisture, and I'm talking normal humidity, not dunking it in a bathtub, the chemical bonds in the acrylic start breaking down. The coating gets brittle, it yellows, and within 18 to 24 months, in a humid environment, it starts cracking. bathrooms, coastal areas, anywhere with summer humidity. Acrylic coatings are on borrowed time from the day you hang them.
18 to 24 months. So you're buying disposable curtains.
You're buying disposable curtains and you don't know it. The second technology is a laminated black interlayer. This is what hotels use. Instead of coating the fabric, they take a thin, solid black film, usually a polyester or polypropylene sheet, and they laminate it between the face fabric and the backing. It's a physical barrier, not a chemical coating. It doesn't hydrolyze, it doesn't crack, it doesn't yellow, it just sits there being opaque for years.
It's the difference between painting a wall black and putting a solid black panel inside the wall.
That's exactly the right way to think about it. And then the third approach is triple weave construction. This is the most interesting from a materials perspective. Instead of a separate film layer, they weave three layers of fabric simultaneously on the same loom. And the middle layer is a dense black thread layer that serves as the opaque barrier. There's no coating at all. It's all one piece of fabric with three integrated layers.
What's the trade-off there?
Triple weave is the most breathable option because there's no plastic film trapping moisture. It also drapes more naturally. The curtain hangs and folds like a normal curtain rather than feeling stiff. The downside is weight. Triple weave curtains are substantially heavier than laminated ones because you're weaving all that black thread into the structure. You need a serious curtain rod. And they're typically more expensive because the weaving process is more complex.
If I'm reading a product description, and it doesn't mention which of these three technologies it uses, what does that tell me?
It's acrylic coated. They're hiding it. If a curtain uses a laminated interlayer or triple weave construction, the manufacturer will tell you. They'll put it in the product name. They're proud of it. If the description just says blackout and doesn't explain how, it's almost certainly the cheapest acrylic coating that'll be cracking before you've had two birthdays.
Covering the covers. So let's get quantitative. You mentioned 18 to 24 months for acrylic failure, but what about the actual light blocking performance? How is that measured, and what numbers actually matter?
This is where the ASTM E283 test comes in. ASTM is the American Society for Testing and Materials. They publish standardized test methods for basically everything. E283 is the standard test for air leakage through exterior windows and curtain walls, but it's been adapted for measuring light transmission through fabrics. The setup is straightforward. You put the fabric in a controlled environment, shine a calibrated light source at a known lux level on one side, and put a spectrophotometer on the other side to measure what gets through.
What's the threshold for true blackout?
Less than 0.1% light transmission. That's the number. If 1,000 lux are hitting the front of the curtain, less than 1 lux reaches the other side. That's total darkness to the human eye. Your eyes cannot distinguish between 0.1% and 0%. It's perceptually identical to complete darkness.
What are most consumer blackout curtains actually delivering?
2 to 5%. That doesn't sound like much, but the human eye is logarithmic. 2% of daylight is still bright enough to read by. It's bright enough to suppress melatonin production. It's definitely bright enough to wake you up. So you've got this gap between what the marketing says, blackout, and what the physics delivers, significantly dimmer but not dark.
There was a lawsuit about this recently, wasn't there?
2025, a class action suit against one of the big direct-to-consumer curtain brands. The plaintiff had independent lab testing done on curtains marketed as blackout, and the results showed 8% light transmission. That's not even close. That's not even in the same zip code as blackout. The case settled, but it exposed how little accountability there is in this market.
8% is room darkening at best, which brings up another thing, these terms. Room darkening versus blackout. Are they actually defined anywhere?
Not by any regulatory body. The industry has sort of informally settled on room darkening, meaning 80 to 90% light blocked, and blackout meaning 99% plus. But it's a gentleman's agreement among people who are not gentlemen. Plenty of brands use them interchangeably. You'll see a product labeled Room Darkening Blackout, which is a contradiction in terms. It's like saying warm frozen.
The glockenspiel of corporate approachability.
It's exactly that. They're using the word blackout as a vibe, not a specification.
We've established the middle layer is where the action is, and lamination beats coating. But what about the stuff that doesn't show up in the product photos? What are the durability specifications that actually predict whether this thing is going to last?
Three specs matter, and almost nobody talks about them in consumer marketing. First is light fastness, measured under ASTM D6544. This tests how quickly the fabric fades when exposed to UV light. Remember, the curtain is sitting in front of a window. It's getting direct sunlight every day. A low light fastness rating means your beautiful navy blue curtain is going to be a splotchy gray blue within 2 years.
The face fabric fading doesn't affect the blackout performance, but it looks terrible.
It looks like a failed art project. Second spec is abrasion resistance, measured in Weisenbeek cycles. This is a machine that rubs fabric back and forth until it wears through. Hotel curtains need to survive 15,000 plus Weisenbeek cycles because they're being opened and closed daily by guests and housekeeping, sometimes roughly. Most consumer curtains are tested to maybe 5 or 6,000 cycles, if they're tested at all.
The hotel curtain is engineered for abuse, and the consumer curtain is engineered for a product photo.
That's the entire business model difference in one sentence. And the third spec is flame retardancy, which is where things get genuinely important for safety. Hotels are required to meet NFPA 701, that's the National Fire Protection Association standard for textiles in public spaces. It's a rigorous test that measures flame spread and afterflame time. Most consumer curtains only meet TB 117-2013, which is California's furniture flammability standard. It's less stringent. If you're putting curtains in a bedroom, especially near outlets or electronics, NFPA 701 certification is worth looking for.
That's something you can actually find on a label.
On commercial-grade curtains, yes. It'll be on the tag right next to the fiber content and care instructions. On consumer curtains, you'll almost never see it. They don't want to call attention to the fact that they're meeting a lower standard.
Let's shift to the part of this problem that isn't about fabric at all. You said earlier that edge leakage is the number one failure point. What's actually happening physically when light sneaks around the side of a curtain?
Light behaves like a wave, and when a wave encounters an edge, like the edge of a curtain, it bends around it. It's the same physics that lets you hear someone talking in another room, even though the door is only open a crack. The sound waves diffract around the door edge. Light does the same thing, just at a much smaller scale.
Even if I have a perfect 0.01% transmission fabric, if there's a gap between the curtain and the wall, light is going to bend around that edge and hit my eyeballs.
It's worse than people think, because it's not just the direct light from the window bending around. It's also light that hits the wall next to the window, scatters, and then comes around the curtain edge. You've got multiple paths. The gap between the curtain and the wall is essentially a secondary light source.
This is why hotel curtains use those wraparound track systems.
If you've ever stayed in a hotel with good blackout curtains, you'll notice the curtain rod isn't a straight rod. It curves at the ends and brings the curtain all the way to the wall. Or, they use a ceiling-mounted track with the curtain panel extending several inches beyond the window frame on all sides. Some higher-end installations use magnetic strips sewn into the edges of the curtain that attach to metal strips on the wall, creating a light, tight seal.
I've seen those in some hotels in Jerusalem. You pull the curtain closed and it kind of clicks into place against the wall.
That's the magnetic side channel, and it solves the edge leakage problem completely. But you have to install it. You can't just hang it on a tension rod and expect it to work.
The fabric is only half the battle. The other half is the installation geometry.
This connects to something that's widely misunderstood about blackout curtains and energy efficiency. Curtains are often marketed as saving energy, which is technically true but mechanically misleading. The R value of curtain fabric, the measure of thermal resistance, is about R1 at best. That's negligible. A single pane window is about R1, so you're not getting meaningful insulation from the fabric itself.
Where are the energy savings actually coming from?
The dead airspace between the curtain and the window. When you close a curtain, you're trapping a layer of air between the fabric and the glass. Air is a terrible conductor of heat. That trapped air gap acts as an insulator. But here's the thing. For that air gap to actually work, the curtain needs to be sealed reasonably well at the top, bottom, and sides. If there's a 2-inch gap at the top where hot air can escape, you've defeated the purpose. This is why a ceiling-mounted track that seals the top edge is far more important for energy performance than how thick the fabric is.
The mounting hardware is doing more thermal work than the curtain.
And nobody selling curtains wants to tell you this because they can't sell you a mounting system in the same product shot. The curtain is the thing you buy. The track is the thing you should buy but probably won't.
This is the Bia Great Lens, not a great camera body of window treatments.
And to put numbers on it, a properly installed blackout curtain with a sealed top track and side overlaps can reduce heat loss through a window by about 25%. The same curtain hung on a basic rod with gaps reduces heat loss by maybe 10%. Same fabric, completely different performance.
Let's talk about one of the most useful ways to spot an imposter, because I know people are shopping on their phones at 2 in the morning and they're not reading ASTM spec sheets. What's the quickest tell?
Blackout lining versus blackout fabric. If the product description says the curtain has a blackout lining, that means it's a separate piece of fabric sewn or attached to the back of the decorative fabric. It's a removable layer, essentially. And here's the problem. Sewn liners shift. Over time, as the curtain is opened and closed, the liner and the face fabric move slightly differently because they're different materials with different weights and different draping characteristics. You end up with the liner sagging or pulling away from the edges.
You get light leaks at the seams.
A true hotel curtain has the blackout layer bonded or woven into the structure. It's not a separate piece. It's one integrated unit. If you see the word lining, that's a red flag. If you see three-pass or bonded or integrated, that's what you want.
What about weight? You mentioned earlier that hotel curtains are heavier. Can you just pick it up and know?
To a surprising degree, yes. A true blackout curtain panel in a standard 54 by 84 inch size should weigh at least 1.5 pounds. If it's mass loaded vinyl for acoustic performance, which we should talk about, it can be 2 to 3 pounds per square yard. A cheap acrylic coated curtain in the same size might weigh 0.5 pound. You pick it up and it feels like a bedsheet. That's not going to block light effectively.
Weight is a proxy for the presence of an actual opaque barrier.
It's not perfect, but it's one of the most reliable proxies a consumer has without a spectrophotometer. Heavy doesn't guarantee good, but light almost always guarantees bad.
You mentioned acoustic performance. What's the connection between blackout and sound?
Some high-end blackout curtains incorporate a mass-loaded vinyl interlayer, MLV, which is the same material used in professional soundproofing. MLV is dense and limp, and it converts sound energy into tiny amounts of heat through internal friction. A curtain with an MLV layer can provide an STC rating, sound transmission class, of 25 to 30. That's meaningful. That's the difference between hearing traffic noise and not hearing it.
A standard curtain?
STC 10 to 15. Barely noticeable sound reduction. The giveaway, again, is weight. An MLV curtain weighs 2 to 3 pounds per square yard. A standard curtain weighs maybe 0.5 pound per square yard. You will notice the difference the moment you pick up the package.
That's a curtain that needs a serious rod. You're not hanging that on a tension rod from the drugstore.
You're hanging that on something bolted into wall studs. And this is another place where the consumer experience falls apart. People buy heavy, high-quality curtains and then hang them on hardware that can't support the weight. The rod sags, the brackets pull out of the drywall, and 6 months later, the whole thing is on the floor.
Let's talk about what a hotel actually specifies, because I think that's the benchmark people are reaching for when they say they want hotel quality. You've looked at actual hotel procurement documents.
Marriott updated their curtain specifications in their 2024 procurement guidelines, and it's a fascinating document because it's completely indifferent to marketing language. They don't care what the curtain is called. They care about test results. The spec requires a laminated interlayer, not acrylic coating, a minimum 300 thread count face fabric, and a grommet to wall gap of less than 3 millimeters when installed.
That's basically flush.
It's functionally a seal. And they require the wraparound track or magnetic closure system we talked about. They also require the 15,000 plus Weisenbeek cycles and NFPA 701 flame certification. This is a document written by people who have to sleep actual paying guests in thousands of rooms and can't afford complaints.
The fascinating thing is that the price point for this isn't necessarily stratospheric. You compared an IKEA curtain to a commercial one.
IKEA's Maja blackout curtain, which is honestly one of the better consumer options, runs about $30 to $40 per panel. A commercial grade curtain from a hospitality supplier, something like the Luna line, runs about the same price. Same price point. But the Luna has a laminated interlayer and the Maja is acrylic coated. The light blockage difference is about 4 times. The durability difference is probably more than that.
It's not even that the good stuff costs more. It's that the bad stuff costs the same, but has better distribution.
The bad stuff is in every big box store and on every online marketplace with 50,000 reviews. The good stuff is in a commercial supply catalog that normal people never see. The information asymmetry is the business model.
Let's talk about care and maintenance, because this is another place where people get tripped up. Can you wash these things?
It depends entirely on the construction, and getting this wrong destroys the curtain. Acrylic-coated curtains, remember, the cheapest kind, will crack and peel in a washing machine. The agitation and the water cause the coating to separate from the fabric. Laminated interlayers can delaminate if washed in hot water or put in a dryer. The adhesive that bonds the layers breaks down under heat. Most hotel-quality curtains are dry clean only for exactly this reason.
You're making a trade-off. You can have a curtain that blocks light perfectly for years, but you can't throw it in the washing machine.
This is where Triple Weave has a genuine advantage. Because there's no coating and no adhesive, Triple Weave curtains can usually be washed on a gentle cycle and air-dried. They're more forgiving. But they're heavier and more expensive, so you're trading one convenience for another.
There's no free lunch in material science.
There is never a free lunch in material science. Every engineering choice is a trade-off. The question is which trade-offs you're aware of when you're making the purchase.
Let's synthesize this into something actionable. Someone's listening to this. They're about to buy curtains. They're staring at a product page. What's the checklist?
First, look at the construction description. If you see laminated interlayer or triple weave, you're in good territory. If you see acrylic coating, or if they don't specify at all, walk away. Second, check the weight. A standard 54 by 84 inch panel should weigh at least 1.5 pounds. If the weight isn't listed, that's itself a signal.
Weight is almost never listed on consumer product pages.
That's not an accident. Third, verify the flame retardancy certification. NFPA 701 is the gold standard. If it's not there, assume you're getting the lower TB117 standard. Fourth, and this is the one that costs nothing, measure your window gap. If the curtain doesn't overlap the window frame by at least 4 inches on each side, no fabric in the world will give you true darkness. You need that overlap to minimize edge leakage.
Before you even buy the curtain, you need to know if your window geometry allows for blackout.
If you've got a window that's flush with the wall on both sides and you can't mount a curtain rod that extends beyond the frame, you're never going to get true blackout with curtains alone. You'd need an inside mount shade or a different approach entirely.
There's a test for this, right? The 3-minute thing.
The 3-minute test. This is the simplest diagnostic in the world, and it works better than most people's intuition. Hang the curtain, close it, turn off the lights, and stand in the room for 3 full minutes. Not 30 seconds. Your eyes need that long to fully dark adapt. After 3 minutes, if you can see your hand in front of your face, if you can make out the outline of furniture, the curtain is not blackout. Your pupils are the most sensitive light meters you own.
3 minutes of standing in the dark like you're waiting for a surprise party that isn't coming.
It cuts through all the marketing. Your eyes don't care what the label says.
What about the price rule of thumb? You mentioned there's a floor below, which you're almost certainly getting acrylic.
If a curtain costs less than $50 per panel for a standard 54 by 84, it is almost certainly acrylic coated and will degrade within 2 years. The material cost alone for a laminated interlayer curtain, the fabric, the barrier film, the backing, the sewing, puts the manufacturing cost above what would allow a $50 retail price. Hotel quality starts around $80 to $120 per panel.
That's going to be controversial. People don't want to hear that they need to spend $300 to curtain a single window.
I'm not saying it's fair. I'm saying it's what the materials cost. You can spend $30 and get something that says blackout on the package and dims the room for a year before it starts cracking. That might be the right choice for some people, but it's not the same product. The problem is that they're both called the same thing.
That's the core of it, isn't it? The language has been hollowed out. Blackout doesn't mean blackout anymore. It means we'd like you to think this blocks light.
Until the FTC defines the term or a class, action lawsuit establishes a precedent, it's going to stay that way. The 2025 lawsuit was a start, but one settlement doesn't change an industry.
Let's look forward. We've been talking about fabric and coatings and tracks,
But there's a technological horizon here that might make all of this obsolete. Smart glass and electrochromic windows.
This is where things get interesting. Electrochromic windows use a thin film that changes opacity when you apply a small electric current. They can go from clear to fully tinted in a few minutes. And the prices have been dropping fast, about 40% between 2022 and 2025. They're still expensive, but the curve is pointing toward affordability.
The question is, does the blackout curtain have a future, or is it the VCR of window treatments?
I think curtains have two structural advantages that are hard to beat. First, zero power consumption in steady state. An electrochromic window needs power to change state and sometimes needs trickle power to maintain a dark state. A curtain just hangs there. Second, curtains provide thermal and acoustic benefits that glass alone doesn't. That dead air gap we talked about, that's a curtain-specific feature. You can't get that from a window coating.
Curtains aren't going anywhere, but they might become a specialty product rather than the default.
I think that's right, and there's a middle ground emerging that's exciting. Researchers are working on what they're calling tunable blackout curtains, fabric with embedded liquid crystal layers that can switch between sheer, room darkening, and full blackout states with a small applied voltage. Prototypes exist as of early 2026, but they're running around $500 plus per panel.
For now, the dumb fabric curtain is still the smart choice for most people.
The dumb fabric curtain, properly specified and properly installed, does one thing perfectly. It's hard to improve on that.
There's something almost philosophically satisfying about that. In a world of smart everything, the best solution to a problem is sometimes a piece of fabric on a track.
The best engineering is the engineering you don't notice. A great blackout curtain is like a great sound engineer at a concert. If they're doing their job, you don't know they exist. You just experience the result.
Build me a room nobody notices they're sleeping in.
And that brings us to the thing I actually want people to take away from this. The spec sheet matters. The ASTM numbers matter. But the real test of a blackout curtain is whether you forget you own it. If you're thinking about your curtains, they're not working.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
The largest known permafrost methane crater in the world is the Batagaika crater in Siberia, which is more than 1 kilometer long and 800 meters wide. During the early Renaissance, around the time Michelangelo was born, the permafrost in that region was stable enough that the crater didn't yet exist, but the ground that would eventually collapse was already quietly warming.
Where does this leave us? The blackout curtain market is a mess of unregulated claims, hidden failure modes, and installation requirements that nobody tells you about. But the underlying engineering is elegant. Three layers, one job, and the tools to separate the real thing from the imposters are available to anyone willing to read a spec sheet and stand in a dark room for 3 minutes. The question I keep coming back to is whether the market will eventually self-correct, whether enough lawsuits and enough consumer awareness will force blackout to mean something again.
I think it'll take either regulation or a brand that builds its entire identity around verifiable performance. Someone who publishes their ASTM E283 results on the product page and makes the 3-minute test their marketing campaign. The demand is there. People want to sleep in the dark.
Until then, you've got your checklist. Laminated interlayer or triple weave. 1.5 pounds minimum. NFPA 701 if you can find it. 4 inches of overlap on every side. And 3 minutes in the dark to know for sure. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop, for making this episode happen.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Find us at myweirdprompts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time.
time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.